share as well. It's no different with our personal computers. The same thing.
Yeah, all the software, our servers need to have access to it.
It is. Should be. Maybe we should put that on the list of things you're buying.
Computer, everything that I access, all the programs are accessed on me, and the stuff from that.
So you want to ask him about what else?
Just making sure that we can get that there's a backup, something is backing up all the town highway.
Highway computer, okay.
Because that's been just sitting down there, and that's just, you know, if it crashes and we can't recover with that stuff. We got some of it off when we were doing analysis last year, but we're not current. I don't have 2018.
Especially if it were to crash at a period of time when you're going through some kind of FEMA paperwork and all that.
Yep. So that would be good to talk to Bob, because I sort of want to see where he's at and see what he can do for us.
Anything else on info technology? We need to set Neil's rate of pay for the FEMA situation. We voted at the last meeting or the meeting before to have him do the FEMA work for the spring storm. However, he needs a vote documentation of his rate of pay. He's willing to do the work for $17 an hour. He said that would make him happy. I asked him if he wanted more. He said no, $17 would make him happy, so I need a motion.
It is there before we vote on 17. Is there, this is reimbursed by FEMA, correct?
Excuse me?
What we pay them is reimbursed by
the administrator.
Correct.
Is there a guideline that FEMA sets that one should get paid for doing this work?
No, and that's kind of what I was getting at when I said, do you want more than $17 an hour? And he said no. He was happy with $17 an hour. And I took him at his word.
The only thing we have to be careful of is Neil's already an hourly. I don't know how much he works as a lister. No, I know the amount, but I mean the number of hours. We have to be careful in terms of hours, because that puts us in potential in terms of sick time and all that good stuff.
Qualified as professional contract services.
We could contract with him, yeah, but we have to go that route. I mean, he could be treated as a contractor, but that might not apply to the VLCT that's actually doing a municipal function, because they kind of frown on only hire contractors to do municipal things.
But that's not related to rate of pay. It's more hours.
So we just have to be careful of that, because there is a state sick time law that gets triggered at a certain number of hours.
I personally don't think $17 an hour
is enough. I did express that to him, and I gave him ample opportunity to. I specifically asked, do you want more than that? And he said $17 an hour is fine. And I would take the man at his word. I did give him an opportunity, and I made sure that I gave him that opportunity. And I would just go with that. But that's up to you guys. I will entertain any motion that anyone wants to put on the floor.
When he brought it up to me, he said the exact same hour. You guys want to do more than that, I'll recuse myself from that discussion. You think that part of it is that he's good at doing it, he enjoys doing it, and it's
helping the town, and he likes to do it.
Yep. So if you guys want to do something different, then that's up to you.
So I need a motion. All right, I'll make the motion. I move that we set Neil's rate of pay for FEMA work at $17 an hour.
Second.
All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Aye. You recuse yourself? Steve recuses himself. That goes, all right, now we've got the back to back. I'm just trying to make sure that I've gotten all these additions taken care of. No, I have not. Under Planning Commission, we have a request from the Planning Commission for two reasons to perhaps consult with an attorney. One is regarding the Nassau subdivision down here on Galaxy Hill Road. And that particular instance, part of that land is going to be conserved, correct?
The land is going to be left as
open
land, and we want to make sure that we write a decision appropriately so that it is left as open land.
And then, secondly, in September, when they get this zoning regulation ready to roll, they would like Joe McLean, they would like authorization to ask Joe McLean to review that document. And so I would move that we authorize them to seek attorney's guidance in the Nassau subdivision, and also when the timing is appropriate to seek Joe McLean's review of the zoning regulation.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hallelujah. Carry on. Discussion of Concord Town website investigation and incident at BCA meeting. I have those together.
Actually, I spoke too soon. If we can address that. My comments on the investigation are separate from the incident.
Well, let's do the discussion of the Concord website investigation.
Okay. Basically, my concern is, and I don't want to relitigate, what happened, because I don't really care. Some stuff disappeared.
We got it back.
It reappeared, so I don't care. I'm not relitigating that at all. However, there seems to be a pattern evolving that's troubling to me, and that's the fact that our town treasurer has seen it fit to invoke herself into the matter of the website. That's a select board function, and I added as an attachment the requested emails that deal with that. And I'd like to just highlight a couple of them. On the 28th of June, Ellen sent a letter to our IT guy, Tad. We have a problem with Scott Woodward and one of our selectmen. He has authority, which we want to revoke. And so I guess my question, and this will be a rhetorical question, is who's we? You'll have to answer. It goes on to say, asks Bob Merrill and Tad to do an investigation. And later on the 28th of June, she writes, we need to discover the source of what's going on, whether it clears Scott or implicates him. Many thanks, and please consider this a confidential matter. It goes on, on the 1st of July, Ellen sends a message to Bob. Hi, Bob. Select Board has told me that discovering who's responsible for the website trouble.
Hey, maybe for your mother's birthday you can make her a card or something. Oh, yeah, maybe I could. Maybe I could make a cake, too.
I guess so.
Is that a good movie or should we
leave? I'm not really sure. I guess hopefully it'll stop for a while. So I lost my place, but anyway, on the first, I think I read the first July, it's like Horace told me, discovering who's responsible for the website trouble is of highest priority. Goes on. Third of July, he sent a message to Emily Bob Merrill, said, although Scott is authorized, he has no business on the website. So I guess I could go on. Last thing just I find quite damaging is July 3rd. Note to Bob Merrill says, for now we will not pursue the details, the dates of the activity unless Scott makes a stink. My question is, and it can be, again, it can be rhetorical, is who authorized Ellen to investigate our board or a board member? The website is our responsibility, and I think it's highly inappropriate that this happened. And it's also inflammatory.
I authorized Ellen and or Becky, whoever was dealing with Bob. I asked him specifically, can you get Bob, when he is here, to find the documents? Can you find where they went? Can you find out who made them disappear?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do all of these things?
And I understand.
Okay.
That
is my responsibility.
Right.
That being said, when push came to shove and Bob wrote an email, which I did not read until about a week later, I came into the office for some other reason, and Ellen had copied me his email, which I didn't read that day, and yes, maybe he could find out where they went, and he had to know the day and the time, which of course I didn't know, and it was going to cost a significant amount of money. And I said at that time, and I said this 2 weeks ago, at the last board meeting, I said, I cannot authorize that kind of an expenditure. The documents seem to be coming back. I don't know who's finding them. I don't know where they're getting them. And at that point, he had determined there was a list of people that had gone into the website
mm-hmm.
on multiple occasions,
mm-hmm.
and all of those were authorized users.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, I said, this is going to have to be a board decision.
Right.
I do not feel comfortable making this kind of decision to investigate any further. And so, really, the blame belongs on me.
Well, I guess my concern is that this doesn't discuss you as much as it does the fact that Ellen's saying, I want to find out about this guy. I want him off the website. I want that. And my question is, who authorized you to do that?
I think we have a series of fortunate events, potentially.
Yep, I would agree with that.
We have, due to it being a public, anybody at any time can go in and request just about anything they want. So if I wanted to go in and get a hold of all those deep emails that he sent over the last month, all I've got to do is go in and ask for it, and I can get that.
Right.
And so, where, your personal business, I can send back and forth whoever I want, unless that person on the other end decides to share it with somebody. It's supposedly private, unless somebody wants to hack the system to get into that information.
Sure.
Business, then it's up to the businesses to whether they want to do that. But anyways, so there's that component, and then there's a component of maybe these emails shouldn't have been sent. To me, in reading it over, it's more out of frustration that they were sent than anything. There's nothing in there that's authorizing any activities. It's more of a voicing one's opinions, albeit strong, although we all have strong opinions, we just don't always, either we don't always put them down into words and share them via email, especially public email. nothing in there that's directing anybody to do something, I guess, is, where do you draw the line, I guess.
But it appears that she is requesting both Bob and Tad to do an investigation. It's very clear. You read that.
If I could step in here, I think that we're missing the boat here. There were a number of meetings starting in about May, is my understanding, where people came to the meetings, or Cynthia made comments that she had posted things to the website that had disappeared. And at no point in any of those meetings did Scott raise his hand and say, I was making a correction, or I was doing something. He only admitted that he had done something like that when the vote had already been taken to remove him from the website, and John had to look at him and say, I will give you your authorization back if you will promise not to alter anybody else's postings on the website. So to think that you're going to hang me for something that was Scott's issue to begin with, that he had no business going on there, changing agendas, changing minutes, doing things like that, and then make it seem like I am at fault for what he started, is asinine.
I'd like to speak to that. So, Ellen, you're absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. So, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but Emily actually asked me to assist Cynthia. Cynthia has asked me to assist her, right? So, the period you're talking about, you're acting, the things you just said, paint the picture that I'm off doing things that nobody knows about.
Well, then why didn't you say at the meetings, I was helping Cynthia, I took that stuff off, and I was going to put it back on? But when people at the meetings said, where are they? There was no answer.
I have no idea what you're talking about, the stuff that got taken off. But what are you talking about?
The whole month of stuff that came up missing.
Well, I'm the one to ask
where it all went.
Right, and so...
And I'm not saying that you took it off. I don't know where it went. I still don't know where it went. John or somebody found it and got most of it back on. And that was the ultimate result.
So we're going down the path I didn't want to. What I wanted to clear up is, because this is a pattern that's happened over and over again, I guess I'll put it bluntly, who died and left Ellen in charge of the website? She's always trying to right the wrongs and things, and she's doing what she accuses Scott of doing. I'm just saying that unless you authorize her to request these fellows to do this investigation, it was called an investigation, it was called looking for sabotage, it was looking for, we don't want Scott on the website and stuff. Well, who is we? I'm just saying that there's a lot of sneaky stuff, backdoor things that are going on, and it exacerbates what's happening on this board and in this town. And there are people sitting in the audience who revel in this thing as much as people on the board. And I want it to end. I could go on with a litany of things, and I won't. But the point is, it's very, very clear in here. Ellen directs someone else to do something to the website, and she is not authorized to do that. End of story.
I authorized, as I told you, I asked her to have Bob find the stuff, find where it went, get it back if possible, find out how it disappeared. And those all were my fault.
Okay,
so if you want to throw somebody, throw me, because asked her, and it was not just her, Becky was there too, because they are the people that are dealing with Bob. I cannot personally deal with Bob up here, because I am not here.
I understand that.
So if you want to put somebody under the bus, because that initial request was mine, and I take full responsibility for it, because quite frankly, there was no way for you or me or anyone else in this room to know whether the people that were authorized to be on the website were or were not, whether other individuals had gotten in there and had taken stuff away. Nobody knew that answer until Bob gave that printout that said, these people have been on the website in the last whatever it was. I don't know whether it was 30 days or what. So nobody knew those answers. And once those answers became clear, I said, I have no more authorization. That only the people that were dealing, that had authorization to be there, were there. So if you want to take somebody to task for this, then you need to take me to task. Because I asked Ellen and Becky to deal with Bob Merrill for me, because I cannot sit up here in the office all day long. And as you all know, I am computer illiterate anyway.
And I completely understand that, Emily. I completely understand. You and I discussed that, and I thought we had this cleared up. However, what I'm troubled with is the editorializing. We have a problem with Scott Woodard, one of the selectmen. He has authority that we want to revoke. Who's we, and what gave her the authority to tell this fellow that we wanted to revoke his thing? There's all the editorializing here of, let's see if Scott's guilty, let's whatever. And this is highly inflammatory. And you can't, unless, I just want to bring it up because I want it in public that these kinds of things are going on. This is inflammatory, just like some of the statements that Ellen makes in these meetings, demanding that we do certain things. She's demanded several times that we censure Scott in the last year or so, and we don't do it because there isn't really a mechanism that I understand that we can do that. Now, if we had a code of conduct and it said that we could censure Scott or you or me or anybody for stepping out of line or whatever, that's fine. But let's not make this crap up as we go along. And so I think it's high time that this stuff stopped. And I know there's... I'm probably talking to the wall, but I'm tired of this, and I can see because I'm angry when I read this stuff.
Bethany? Well, yeah. I read this email trail, and I was shocked. I was really shocked. And I just want to say what you described that you asked Ellen to do is not what she did. There's the we, Frank has said a lot of this. We need to find the proof of who has been using these documents, blah, blah, blah. That is what you asked her to do. At any rate, I was really upset when I read this. And I ended up sitting down and writing something, and I'd like to read it if I could.
Sure.
There were 6 people with access to the website, one of whom does not have advanced computer skills. Why was the conclusion that problems with the website was wholly the fault of one of them? That the problem was sabotage, which is a pretty strong and serious allegation, that the forensics Bob and Tad were being asked to do were confidential, that finding out whether Scott was responsible was the highest priority. Why was this done, these conclusions reached, these words used, and this course of action taken? What makes some things messed up on the website the highest priority? And this, John, to what you said, it's not personal. This is a professional setting, and this was...
Audit sales.
Yeah, these were... If I heard you right, I'm not sure I did, but...
No, I said that's the difference between sending a personal...
Oh, okay, so I didn't hear you right. Scratch that. Okay. And who made the decision to do this, since the select board seems not to have been consulted about it? Who directed the treasurer? And now you answer that. Because it seems she was spending town money without select board authorization by asking these people to do things because we paid them. She was making decisions about how to proceed with this investigation. Why did someone go to the treasurer who has no official connection to the website? The details of the whole episode are troubling. The process, or lack of it, is troubling. But there's something bigger here. This feels uncomfortably like persecution. I make no excuses for anyone's behavior, either what was discussed at the last meeting or behavior I've heard from others on the meeting recordings. Here's the thing. In this world, we don't always get to like the people we work with or what they do. But you also don't get to set out to destroy them. You try to have conversations, you get the work done. 8 or so years ago, something parallel happened to someone else in this town government. The situations are similar enough to be eerie. When I read this email trail, I was shocked and angry. But I'm also disappointed and sad. I thought we had gone beyond this sort of thing. And I know we are better than this. I want to explain my involvement here tonight. When I got involved in the past situation, I barely knew the person I thought was being persecuted. I know Scott better than I knew that person at that time. But I will always speak up for what I see as unfair treatment of anyone. I'm also very serious about proper process being followed. I mention this because I don't want anyone to dismiss my words by saying that I'm going to bat for someone because I know him. I'd like to make a suggestion that goes beyond my hope that this episode is not dropped. I really think it's important that the statutory roles of every person in town government are studied, identified, and adhered to. I thought this was going to happen, but I don't think it has. Someone in town has already gotten a good start on gathering this information, but I don't think it's gone anywhere. Please do it. Clarity prevents problems. This government badly needs this type of clarity. Thank you.
I have one question. Did, how do I word this? Who did the public request for public records on getting these emails to begin with?
Do you want me to answer that since I asked Ellen for the emails. I knew they existed.
Okay, you did. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fine. Yeah. You guys don't know. I asked you guys for what?
Sure.
A bunch worth of emails, right?
Public information.
Okay. So then, you sent them on to Frank, apparently, which is all fine. But did you send them on to Betsy? Did you do a public request for that email trail?
No, I didn't, but I think your question's irrelevant.
Why is it irrelevant?
Because it's public information, and if somebody sends it to me, somebody sends it to me.
It's not confidential information.
It's not confidential.
So I just made my point. I don't expect any outcome or any conclusions or whatever. I just felt compelled to speak out about this because I did.
Betsy certainly brings up many valid points. And, you know, again, back to the town manager. If you have a professional that's available and you can throw all this stuff in their ballpark, then it's...
It's not a cure-all. Think of all the towns that have trouble with
it. Oh, I know, it's not, but somebody that has the time to get into the stuff, which, you know, is another reason I've never sent any emails because they never tell me before, so.
So I guess I wanted to just... So over a year ago, and I've been talking about roles and responsibilities for a while, but I felt for a long time that a lot of the tension that exists would be, hopefully, may not be cured once and for all, but would go a long ways if roles and responsibilities were clarified, and as Betsy put it, if those roles and responsibilities were respected. There's been a lot of things said back and forth over the last year and a half in terms of people encroaching and their, you know, perceptions of encroaching in other people's territory or other town officials' territory. And I think we would serve ourselves well if we would commit ourselves to defining the roles and responsibilities, understanding where the boundaries are and respecting those boundaries. Ellen has voiced her concerns in the past about select board members, me in particular, overstepping. And here we have an example of the opposite happening. And so I think we would really... I think we should commit ourselves to understanding what the roles are, understanding where the boundaries are and making sure they're respected. And that may not solve everything, but it certainly would go a long way. And if we could, you know, to me that gets down to just actually understand what the rules are, because I think things tend to get jumbled up at times.
I think that is important. I think the only way that it's going to get done, because parties, committees do this, it doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
What's the surest way to get nothing done from a committee?
Well, what I would like to,
if this is something that I think is something that we need to do, we need to have maybe a monthly special select board meeting that we could vote to do this, and whether it's an hour, once a month, or whatever, and just start at the top and work through it, brainstorming first, and come up with some formal roles, because, you know, who's the contact person for this, who's responsible for that, you know, maybe an alternate, you know, what's requested by the contact person, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. John. That's it? somebody's already done a lot of that legwork, as I said, and
right.
I can kind of point you in that direction if you'd like it, but more than how you want to do things here, there are legal statutes that say whose roles are whose. And, you know, over time, in a town government such as this one, things get mixed up because it's easier for somebody. Somebody has certain skills, so they do this. And then it becomes, well, we've always done it this way. And the problem with that is that that's the worst reason to do something, is that this has always been done a certain way. So I really support what you're saying.
But you are perfectly correct. The statutes are fairly clear in how those roles are delineated out.
Absolutely.
And a starter would be to reread those rules. And they're there. They're there in black and white.
Well,
pull out the select board's handbook or all of these various things, these tools that VLPC has available on their website. Or you can pull out the statutes if you so desire.
Well,
but
somebody's already put that out. I mean,
but they're there, and there's no problem with everyone. Refreshing your memory is not a bad thing, in my view. The other thing is you have to be willing to back away from something if it isn't your role.
Absolutely.
And that also is a problem that I see
clarity,
here.
I mean, if you've got the clarity, then you point to, it's like a contract. You point to something.
I understand
that. Now,
but sometimes that doesn't always happen.
Because people feel their toes are being stepped on. But I think if there's a real understanding that this is how we're going to go forward, we're going to at least start with the statutory structure. And then if we feel, because I think there's wiggle room in that, I feel that, you know, somebody, the select board is allowed to say so-and-so's going to deal with this, you know, even if it's your role. But if you, I think this town has to step into that and figure out what belongs to whom and go from here. Because this is not the first time something like this has happened, and not with this board either. I mean, it happens.
Colin?
Go ahead, John.
You know, you bring up a comment about emails, and I think if you probably wanted to subpoena or get everybody's emails, you would probably find a lot of stuff that maybe people shouldn't have said. And when people used to talk on the phone, they would say things, and that was the phone conversation, and there was no recording of it. There was two individuals talking to one another. And if I go out in the parking lot, I can talk to people individually. And as emails have progressed in time and messaging, people use that in place of talking. And sometimes you get a little lax, and maybe you shouldn't say everything that you say. I'm sure there are emails that I've sent, and probably everybody on the board has sent, that probably aren't completely above board.
So if you want to
throw somebody under the bus for that, and Emily said she's to blame, she asked Ellen and Becky to do that, and they went ahead and did that, and the record certainly speaks for itself. But I just want to make this one comment that, and I know you're talking about it separately, so I'll save my comment on the other issue that Scott did out here. But there's no comparison if I worked in a court of law with those scales on weighing the two issues.
But it's a separate issue.
It is a separate issue, yeah. I think
you have to be really careful with emails. I mean, everybody knows.
Everybody. Yeah.
But when you're working, you have to be really careful. We've all made mistakes. But this isn't one email. This is a series of emails saying the same thing. And, you know, it may be when phone conversations were what would have happened, it wouldn't have come down this way, but that isn't reality anymore. And so when you're faced with the information that you get in an email, you know, that's the reality. That's what you're dealing with. So I think that what Emily said, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. I want to deal with a process that I see here that is very disturbing. And when Emily says she asked for a certain thing, these emails go way beyond that, in vitriol, really. And that's not okay.
Yeah, Diana.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to say, and I want to agree with what you have to say, Emily. I think everybody on the board needs to go back and read their select board handbook, because there are procedures, which one of them, and I've actually had a couple of things tonight, all questions are to be put to the chairman of the board. Nobody, not the public or the board, is supposed to talk without being recognized by the chairman of the board. And right now you have selectmen and select ladies and whatever sitting up there that absolutely refuse to follow those processes and just talks amongst one another. I agree. Go back and read. I have read the select board handbook. Anybody can get it online.
Oh, it's not hard to get.
No, it's not.
Any other discussion on this item?
If I may.
Or slash on me.
I don't believe that the select board rules, the select board handbook is something that's adopted by the state as a set policy that one must follow. So therefore, if the select board wants to decide as a whole not to follow a portion of that, although somebody may not like that, maybe it shouldn't be done, but that's far different than not following a state statute.
There are classes that are run every year for select board members, as well as listers, as well as treasurer, as well as clerk. None of the select board have gone to any of these classes. They, in fact, when it's been brought up to them, they have refused. I think it should be a mandatory thing for a select board member to go to these classes.
Is the town going to reimburse me for my time to take off for work to go?
I think it should be mandatory.
Just a comment, I've been to select board training, so hopefully your statement isn't.
And you're right, I haven't gone, but I haven't refused to go. Nobody said go to this, and I said no, so to bring that up as a.
But every year you all got a letter stating that these classes are available,
right,
and you should go.
Did you have something to say, Steve?
That's different.
I thought I had you, saw your hand up at some point.
You know, it's disturbing to me that 3 weeks ago at our meeting that we all decided that we weren't going to keep digging up stuff from the past. We were going to move forward in a positive direction. And here we are again, throwing another town official under the bus, or a couple of them, when two-thirds of this board is guilty of overstepping their boundaries to begin with. It's not fair. Whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, it's not fair. If we're ever going to get over this childish behavior and move forward in a positive direction for the best interest of the town, you got to move on.
Madam Chair, may I speak to that?
Betsy had her hand up first.
Yeah, please.
So, you know, yeah, I think at some point with issues you have to put them aside and move on. But if that means that you can't ever address problems, this is a new problem coming up right now. Let me finish. This is a new problem coming up right now. And it would have been remiss for this board not to have dealt with it, I think. And you can say, go forward, and I think that you have to go forward. But that doesn't mean you gloss over important issues, which this is. And nobody, I think I said this, I'm not interested in throwing anybody under the bus. I'm interested in looking at what happens and addressing it, in whatever way I have, which is to make a public comment, which is talk to the select board.
But it isn't a totally new issue, because about two meetings ago, Scott was unable to attend the meeting, and this discussion of the website came up, and we discussed that there was issues with it, and to revoke his privileges and limit it to certain
emails, though, Steve.
But listen, it goes to that, okay? So that decision was made so that we could more isolate the problem and figure out what was actually going on.
Which is exactly my question. What, you had six people on this website,
so
that, like Scott.
So then, what
I can
happened?
May I interject? I can tell you why.
Okay. But it wasn't
being asked. And you were not, or maybe you were here for the discussion, and maybe you were not.
No, I wasn't.
I was annoyed because I was spending hours putting things together, getting the agendas together that everyone had input in, adding various documents that needed to be there, that the public wishes to see, that haven't been going in there, and the board needs to see. And when Cindy couldn't get it on, she asked Scott to put it on. The agenda got there, and none of the documents. And I was told by Scott that they never got sent. And I said, Cindy said she sent them. And a week later, after the meeting, he said, well, I really did get them, I just didn't see them. Because Cindy resent the email. I get frustrated, and I got frustrated because I spent the time, and this was not the first time that Scott either changed agendas, rewrote minutes, and did things to the documents that Cindy gave that did not get put in our agenda the way Cindy presented them.
But wouldn't it have been better to talk to Scott?
It's fine. We tried to call Scott. He did not answer his phone.
Okay, well, I can't.
And so we could not call Scott. I did not tell the board what to do. I came here and I said, I am getting frustrated. I get all this stuff together. It gets changed. It gets fooled with. Minutes get rewritten. It's inappropriate for a select board member to rewrite a minute without the select board's approval. And I was frustrated. And that is why we voted to relinquish his access. And so you have to know, in order for you to make a judgment, you have to sit here, and it's on the tape, or you have to listen to the tape to hear the whole story. And yes, I was frustrated. And quite frankly, if it happens again, I will be even more frustrated.
Fair enough. Okay. I'm not here for every meeting. I get that. But what I am addressing tonight is this trail of emails. And it's gone a little beyond that into this corner and that. But the statement I read had to do with nothing else but the process and the inappropriateness of this trail of emails. And I stand by that. But fair enough to your point. Thank you.
May I asked this to you earlier.
Go ahead.
So there's a couple of things that I'd like to address that so Steve just made a point about how we agreed that we were going to move on from this and be positive. And I was in favor of that when I was very upset by this email thread, but I chose not to bring it up last time because I was trying to find a positive path forward, to find a constructive way for us to get out of this. And Steve just voiced his concern about how we're not moving on. But I find it very troubling that, as Steve is saying, we need to move on, that our town treasurer, not just tonight, but repeatedly, uses a safe haven, which is the public comment period, to basically launch a ton of, in my opinion, baseless allegations against me. And so I think it's extremely inappropriate and unfair to talk about moving on in a positive way when the board, and I'm not pointing at any one board member, but this board allows a public official to use the public comment period to basically keep it going, to keep the assertions going. And so if, Steve, you want us as a board to move forward in a positive way, I would expect that you would want the same from other town officials, that they too would not keep using the public comment period as a way to keep this going. And I also want to speak to a lot of things that Emily said, because this is part of the reason why I was very upset at the BCA meeting, is that somehow, and I admitted to the mistakes I made, but they were honest mistakes. There was no malintent. I made mistakes in posting the agenda, but there was no malintent in the mistakes I made, but it's mind-boggling to me that, I mean, I've been involved in this in years now. We make mistakes all the time. We make mistakes on a regular basis in terms of the minutes, in terms of posting stuff to the website. We have a track record of not putting attachments in the agenda. And somehow, this one meeting where I made an honest mistake, suddenly I'm public enemy number one. And it's ridiculous.
No?
No.
I have one question right now. Is Ellen getting paid as town treasurer while she sits here, or is she just a taxpayer sitting here?
I'm just a taxpayer sitting here.
She's salaried, so she's not an hourly.
So. I think,
is she in there, in her office working? No, she's here as a private taxpayer.
I think everyone, the board, has been willing to listen to anyone and everyone who wished to speak in public comment. That is their right as an individual in town. And I personally don't think that, regardless of what they say, they should not be allowed to say it. It is a public meeting. We allow public comment. We have allowed public comment. It has been a very generous allotment of time, perhaps too generous, perhaps not. But when we start to stifle or disallow public comment because it criticizes any or all of us, then we lose our ability to be a democracy. And I am not willing to go there. And I personally, if the board is willing, think that we have banged this one and out round enough. We've got one more item to go through, and I think we should move on to the next one.
Amen.
If the board disagrees, then that's fine. We'll continue on.
Amen.
I don't think we're getting anywhere. So, now we have the BOCA, BCA incident. That was your item, John.
Yeah, I wasn't here. I'll I'll be honest, I wasn't here. I've wanted to bring it up. I've been reluctant to bring it up for two reasons. One, because I wasn't here. And two, because I'm a family member of Emily. So that could be construed as a conflict of interest. But nobody else was getting to it, and so I decided somebody needed to do it. If that it be a formal, brought up formally by the select board. I can understand how people get frustrated and what in somebody's eyes led up to said incident. However, and there's been actually, I don't really want to get outside of one incident because that's what's on here, but we've had two, although to a lesser degree, two separate incidences in here. One at a public meeting and one before a public meeting, neither of which have we brought up and discussed. That were, no matter what leads up to an incident like that, it is never okay for that to happen. And because it would happen in public with bystanders, in my opinion, an apology to the person that it happened to, anything but at a bona fide public meeting, is insufficient. And it, to me, it needs to be a written, genuine, formal apology, at least.
May I speak?
Yeah.
So I'm happy to offer an apology. I offered Emily an apology after the meeting, after the CCA meeting. I'm not going to justify what I did. There's no justification. I lost my cool. There's no. And no matter how upset I was about all this nonsense about the access to the website and this email thread that we just finished talking about, it doesn't justify me losing my cool. And so I'm happy to offer an apology. I'm happy to offer a written apology. I have no problem with that. I will gladly do that. However, I will say that there's been a lot of hyperbole about this incident, and certainly people have strong feelings, and that's fine. At the beginning of this meeting during public comment, and I agree with you, Emily, I think public comment should not be stifled, but I think there's a fine line between a public comment and a public official offering public comment. But nonetheless, I think that there's been a ton of hyperbole around this incident that happened at the DCA meeting. And so I would just say what I said before. Ellen, at the beginning of this meeting, talked about assault and the legal definition of assault. And I guess I will say to the public here, if anyone, including Ellen, feels that what I did rises to the level of assault, please, I am willing to face the music. If anybody in this building here today, including Ellen, or any of my fellow board members, feel that what I did warrants censure, let's do it. Let's have that discussion. I'm not afraid to face the consequences of my actions. And so I am absolutely more than happy to offer a written public apology, and I will apologize now verbally.
You have done that.
I'm sorry for what I did. And I will draft a written apology. But what I have been attacked very aggressively over the past year, and again, what I did is not justified. But I would like my fellow board members to recognize what I have been subjected to, and it's not acceptable. And I see that I am being asked to apologize for things I've done, which I'm happy to do, but I don't see anyone else as, holding other people accountable for the things that I've been subjected to. And if people are serious about anything I've ever done, don't just lob assertions in a public meeting. Let's do this. Let's follow a process. Let's see it out. Let's make sure, because it's damaging
to this institution. It's damaging to this board. It's damaging to me and my personal and professional reputation when things are said about me, but nobody has the courage to follow through on it. And so if people want to make allegations against me and just lob them out there for the public to consume and formulate an opinion, that's not a very nice thing to do. So what I would ask, if people want me to express genuine remorse and respect, I would ask for the same. And to me, respect is, if you have an accusation to make, have the courage to see it through. Have the courage to follow up on that action. Because otherwise, it's just, that's just stirring the pot. And there is a lot of stirring the pot in this town.
I'm not quite sure how to respond. I would, with regard to the email thread, I think I really let you down, because I completely admit in front of everybody that the tenor of the emails was something that I am ashamed to look at now. And I would only say that when Scott says, if you have a problem with me, then let's talk about it. And I feel that that is what I have tried to do. It started when there were various things. The ones that really stick in my craw, which keep coming back because there was so little venue in town to try to air these things, was when he went up one side and down the other of our town accountants. And he came in and tried to talk to me about that, and I said, this was just you on your own. You didn't talk to the select board about it. You didn't get any sense from anybody that of any of the things that you said. And I said, I think you were completely out of line. And his reaction was to look at me as if I was out of my mind to even say comments like that. There was the whole shenanigans with reducing the copying fee from 25 cents to 10 cents, which again, I tried to come forward, and the only venue that I have available to me, just come to the select board meetings, and outline the reasons that I felt that decision was wrong. That was not directed entirely at Scott, because it was a vote that was taken by all of the select board to support that. And there have been, anyway, you know, Frank said the same thing. I'm not going to tick them all off. I'm not going to tick them all off either, except to say that I, too, accumulate a long list of things that really upset me. And at this point, it is probably more a matter of, if there's no way to blow off steam and it becomes a cumulative impact, at some point the fuse is just kind of gone. And I'm at my wit's end with some of the things that I perceive that Scott has done completely wrong in the town, some of which have to do with my job, like working with Chad, like some of the way the appropriations are done in the budget, that he's pointedly told people not to follow the accountant's advice. So I'm probably as upset at you as you are with me, but I don't feel I have any venue except coming here to try to make it seem as though if you were going rogue, then it's the rest of your peers that are supposed to be reining you in. That's not anything that I can do. But I clearly have a perception that you go rogue on the select board, and that they constantly condone what you do. And I have felt that it, as a matter of my own conscience, I can't sit back and watch that repeatedly, and I have felt compelled to say something about that. And, you know, like everything else, I'll take my hits from the people who disapprove of the way that I have voiced my opinion, but I haven't stated anything that I haven't felt was a fact as far as I'm concerned.
May I?
Sure.
I guess let's not, I'm happy to talk about the past. I have tried to talk to you in a one-on-one way, Ellen, and it hasn't worked. I guess I will offer it here to you publicly. If you want to work things out with me, let's work it out.
I don't think that's possible.
Okay, but I'm offering. And yeah, so you can reject,
I feel like I've tried.
You can reject my offer, but I am offering. And so, you know, if you want to talk about how to mend fences,
I'm offering that opportunity. If you want to reject it, that's fine. But I think, I guess to your point is, there's, we have an agenda. You can ask to be on the agenda to talk about a particular subject.
I didn't understand that the town, that other town officials were on the agenda. I thought that was your own agenda. I would never have considered you asked to be put on the agenda.
Anybody
could be on the agenda. So, you know, I just want to reiterate, I, in my entire life, have never been afraid to face consequences of my actions. You know, a lot of us don't know each other, right? So you all know this. I don't know everybody that well. I only know people through this experience. You all don't really know me that well. All you know is you know me through sitting up here. But, you know, you'll have to take me at my word that I'm an honorable person, and I lost my cool. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry I lost my cool. There's a lot of stuff that happens in town government that's very frustrating. And maybe at times, you know, I think in a lot of ways I represent change in a lot of ways. I think I'm not from here. I don't have a deep history of Pomfret. I think there's a certain... I think that's a handicap in some ways of not having been here. I think in some ways I'm probably viewed as an outsider. I think maybe people have perceptions that he's a big government guy. And he likes it. He's all about process. And I don't think people really understand me that well. And so I guess one thing I would offer is that if a lot of what has gone on in terms of tension around this town, I would argue is us just not understanding each other. And if we want, we don't have to, we can keep doing what we're doing. That's fine too. But if we want to open up dialogue and get to know each other, maybe we might find common ground. And maybe you all might come to find how my mind works and why I approach things the way I do. I will say right here publicly that I am committed to not, you know, I would try not to upset people, and that in this spirit of trying to find where the boundaries are, that we will, before I do anything in the future, that we'll, let's have a conversation first. Let's talk about what, where we want to go. And maybe that will help alleviate some of the issues. But I got to tell you, from where I sit, I really feel like I've been attacked a lot, and again, you know, I will just say that if I've done anything that warrants consequences, I'm not afraid to face them.
I'll get to you in just a minute, Christine. The point is you shouldn't have to worry about consequences, Scott. Don't do the things that need to have consequences. You've made your apology, and I've accepted it. And I'm hopeful that it won't happen again to me or anyone else. But there has to be something, because this is not a lone incident, there has to be something that changes in you so that it doesn't happen to anyone else. And that, and then I'm going to recognize Christina because she's had her hand up. You can take that as an attack if you want. You can take that any way you want to. But on a select board, or even in public, even in private, the way you behaved was not acceptable. It can't happen again here. Consequences be damned. Don't worry about the consequences. It just can't happen. It was totally unacceptable. And I can tell you right now that I don't say that about just anything. I've been a woman in business all these years, and they have taken a lot of crap. People don't treat women in business, in my business, with the kind of respect that they ought to. You were so over the top that I will not come to these meetings and coming here alone ever again. And consequences don't have to have a problem be there if the actions don't happen. And that is on you, not on anyone else or on the board. Christina?
Well, I would just like to say that I think listening about all the issues and kind of not necessarily going back to the IT issues, but just in general, I think that being a part of the select board, you have to take a look within yourself and ask yourself why you're on the board. Are you on the, and I'm not pointing fingers at any people, I'm just saying in general, are you on the board for the benefit of the town or for hidden agendas, for lack of better words? There's no group of people that are all going to have the same ideas, agree with everything, and be exactly the same. If part of professionalism, working together, accepting critique, accepting flaws in individuals, and figuring out a way how to best communicate to each other. There is no such thing as over-communication, because then you don't have these loopholes, these questionable acts or whatever. You guys are supposed to be a group. Work as a group, not individuals, would be my suggestion. And I just think that, you know, frustration happens. I have my own business and I get real frustrated lots of times, but I can't just go up to my customers and just go off on them because they have a different way of doing things than I would do it. You know, it's about working together and compromising, and I just think that, you know, you're in the position of power, so to speak, and everybody needs to be able to control their frustrations. And I don't direct that at you, Scott, or anybody else. You know, there's been, you know, for example, Frank has sent an email because he was frustrated that went on the listserv, you know, telling either put up or shut up. It's like no town is going to have the same people that agree with everything that you do. You're always going to have criticism, no matter what. And if you aren't very good at dealing with criticism in the heat of the moment, maybe don't respond. Wait a minute. Go away. Do something. But it's you're in a position where you need to be very professional and keep in mind that you're there to do the best interest of the town. And that's what I feel like you kind of all have strayed from. Like we spend more time talking about, which is important, I'm not saying it's not, but we've spent more time in most of these meetings talking about issues within the board, human resource, hiring human resource contacts, instead of holding yourselves accountable for what you're there to do. You know, I agreed with John, I didn't raise my hand before, but I agreed with John about, you know, you don't really need a babysitter. It's good, I agree that it's good to maybe have this human resource person come in, fix all these kinks, look over policies so you can get past the stuff and just move forward, because there are things that we're discussing on here. For example, the truck RFP that probably should have been done way back in the spring, and we're just now getting to this in the fall. And it's just too bad. I just feel like some of our important business for the town, it's real relevant to the town, takes a back seat for dealing with personnel issues. And I would like to see that go the other way, so we're getting more town business done.
Emily, may I just say a few more words?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm going to let the board decide on that. It's 10 o'clock. I think we've run this around pretty good. And I'm sorry. I just think there's time to end it. But if the board wishes to continue on...
I'm willing to hear it. He's brief. I mean,
I'll be brief.
The point is that, you know, we've had deliberations as a board, sometimes the executive session, and I figured it would take 20 minutes and it takes 2 hours. But sometimes when you let that happen, you get...
Let's go then.
I'll be brief. Nothing I am going to say right now justifies what I did. And what I did in my mind, and people can interpret it different ways, but I interpret it as basically a yelling match. And again, you know, you can believe there's three sides to every story. But nonetheless, what I did was wrong. But I would just ask everyone in this room that, you know, maybe it's a matter of degrees, but again, I've been subjected to things that really, over time, don't feel very good. It doesn't feel good when a fellow board member accuses me publicly of a conflicts of interest policy, a violation, just flat out accuses me of a violation of conflict of interest policy, publicly, without going through a process. It doesn't feel very good for someone to question, to be called out by a fellow board member publicly that to assert that I violated the conflicts of interest policy. It doesn't feel good when I am told that I am guilty of workplace harassment with no basis. Just somebody just says, when somebody just asserts this is workplace harassment, it doesn't feel very good to be on the receiving end of that. And there is, it's very troubling to me to repeatedly be accused of things that either A, are absolutely baseless, or B, that even if there's something to it, that the person making the accusation doesn't follow through on it. And so I think that I just would ask that everybody in this room have perhaps some understanding that I haven't been treated very nicely a lot over the past year. And maybe some people think I don't deserve to be treated nicely. But it's really not very fair to be targeted the way I have over the past year plus. And a lot of my frustration has been feeling like I'm, as Betsy said, feeling a little bit persecuted. And I think that when we're talking about proper behavior, everybody who makes these accusations should also look at themselves about what the accusations they're making. And to stop, and before making, just as I'm being asked to keep my cool and maybe pause before I lose it, maybe other people should also pause before they lob assertions in a public meeting about me and maybe take a different path. And so I guess what I'm saying is it's a two-way street, and I'm being asked to do a lot of things, which I'm happy to do, but I would also ask people to step up in the same way.
I think the trouble is that you're not willing to accept that some of your behavior deserves to be called harassment and bullying. And I definitely feel that I have been the recipient of bullying behavior, harassing, and unpleasant emails that are rude in the extreme. Neil Lamson was just entitled to some of the same treatment. And I don't understand what it takes to make you understand that your treatment of other people is just unacceptable. As you make it sound like we're all putting on you some kind of, well, yes, we are, because your behavior sometimes is completely unacceptable.
I would say, let's have it out. Let's put the evidence in front of the board. Let's talk about it. This is what I'm saying, is if you feel that way, Ellen, let's go through the process.
Can I make
it? I need to say something first. Yeah. I'm sorry. This is a select board discussion. I don't feel, I think public comment is great and it's important, but to have more public comment and more time is a little much. That being said, now that I've said that, I'll forget half what I wanted to say. I don't disagree necessarily with a lot of what Scott said, but I also don't disagree with anything that Ellen said just now necessarily. I think, A, this isn't a court of law, and it's not all about presenting the darn evidence as to what happened. If somebody feels a certain way, regardless of whether there's factual basis to that, somebody has made them feel that way. And it's very important for the person, for both people, to understand what's going on. Why you need to understand why one feels that way. Not just, well, I didn't do anything. There, whether or not there is any factual facts to go along with it is not irrelevant, but it's only a part of it. Had it in my head before, and now I've lost it. But how you are being perceived, how your actions are being perceived, is a big part of whether you or anybody else, but is a big part of it, and not just the facts that go into it. So if Ellen feels threatened by you, or somebody else feels threatened by somebody else, then they have a reason that they are threatened. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody is trying to threaten that person, but they feel that way. And that's very important. That's as important as the facts that go into it. And one of the facts is she has felt threatened. So although it's very important for her to understand your point of view, it's equally important for you to understand that she is feeling threatened and why that is happening. And that's also a big part of this problem.
So what would you suggest?
I don't know.
Because I have often...
Part of it is the outsideness. The other four people of this board have known each other forever. So certainly coming into a small community makes things difficult for anybody. You are also very... you're very direct, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's different maybe, I don't know. You're very overt, and I think that leads to part of it. You are also, and maybe because of your legal background, I don't know, but you're certainly very process-focused, and again, not necessarily a bad thing. And again, it takes understanding from all sides to understand everybody's feelings and perspective on things. And as a board, myself included, we have certainly lost that from time to time, and as a board in general on things. We are here for the benefit of to do the best that we can do and do what is necessary to take care of the town. And I think a lot of times, because we are a small community, that it's very easy to get wrapped up in personal feelings. I have been accused, not by anybody here, but of being what you would call two-faced before. Because I will talk to somebody about something and I will agree with them, and then I'll talk to somebody else and I'll agree with them about it. And I might be at polar opposites of the spectrum when I'm talking to those two people. It's not because I'm agreeing with somebody to agree with them, but it's because I understand their perspective. I do try and, although nobody does all the time, but to take the big picture look. But all of us get wrapped up in personal things, and so that's it.
John?
I guess I've learned a few things tonight, that there's other issues than the one incident at the BCA meeting. I certainly learned that maybe there was some frustration from you when you asked Scott why they weren't there, and he said Cindy didn't send them to me, which makes me think I'm putting Cindy under the bus. And then when Cindy sent the email to say that he did get them, Scott, then Scott apologizes. So there has to be a transparency and honesty about things. I guess the article in the paper said mediation from Scott Bowman, whoever he is, offered, I guess, somewhere. Mediation, no. Sociologist, yes. I looked up sociologist. The best I could find out was its ability to play in the sandbox together. And I guess the thing that I would hope for, two hopes, is that And I do think, probably, Scott, to be honest with you, that I can go to my grandson, Tyler, who had a difficult time reading people, honestly, and he got some training when he was quite young. I'm not sure that at your age that can work. There's two concerns. One is politics is a dirty game in most cases, and it's politics. And it's a thankful situation in Washington, and hopefully we don't reach those levels. I don't think we have, but it is. And you mentioned that tonight, Scott, that is. But that's politics. And the other thing that maybe you can figure out a way to work in the sandbox, but the thing that disturbs you more than anything else that I, on TV, listening to Buster Holt when I get home tonight, they'll be talking about it again, they have for the last four nights of the three situations that have happened, is in that whole event out here, that I wasn't here, but I certainly heard the testimony from the various people at the meeting, and I listened to the tape a couple of times. And I'm a little bit concerned that was a verbal thing to Emily, and you apologize, but maybe you need some help, because I wouldn't want to see you, I don't think you used the word fly off the handle, I think you said you, what lust is cool, but, you know, I don't want to see anybody taken out here in something more serious. And Emily said it's the first time she said, and Becky said that she's fearful that in the office here, that sort of thing. So, Ellen, I thought Ellen made a good comment, looked in the mirror, Scott. So, and that was a few days ago. So I hope I'm not too direct, but I've spent a lot of time with you in the past on the Planning Commission, when you helped out there immensely, and I helped split wood for you at your house not three or four years ago. And I want to see this thing work out, but I maybe you can seek some help, Scott.
Well, I feel like I really need to respond to that. So I guess I would say there's a lot of people that we need to look in the mirror. And it's not just me, John.
Okay.
So if you want to make it all about me, John, that's fine.
You are.
You're making it all about me. Well, that's fine. But I guess you can be the... you know, a public psychologist here, and that's fine.
Denial is not a river in Egypt.
This conversation is over.
Well,
conversation, we are not getting anywhere. This conversation is over.
I agree.
We are going to go on now to meeting wrap-up, select board correspondence, review of assignments, and agenda for next meeting. And I have a quick question from Frank. This grant says there were 15 pages here, but there are only three.
I just gave you the signature part of it. I emailed you tonight.
The whole thing.
Okay. That's the signature page.
Do I have to send the whole thing back to them then? I bet. Yes. If you've emailed it to me, I can print it at home and send it, get it all. Thank you for the clarification. Select Board correspondence. We have something from the ambulance service, and I assume that is probably a bill.
There were the unpaid ambulance bills on.
We got the motion in four and was granted. This is the yearly ambulance fee, and I will give this to Ellen to pay of $30,000 that would be in the disbursement. And
is that for this fiscal year? Because they usually send us an assessment at budget time.
This is a bill.
Because they send us an invoice so we can budget.
This is the invoice, July 20th. 2019-2020. That's this current year. I will leave that on Ellen's desk. Anyway, so what have you got there for assignments, Cindy?
John Slapper.
John, I mean, on the.
You're going to write a letter to Mr. Caller.
Who's going to talk to the lawyer regarding the access?
I'll talk.
Which access is that?
Artistry and whether that's... There's some confusing issues there because of their increase of their land and...
Yeah.
I'm not sure in whose jurisdiction that is.
Well, we want to run them up. I agree with you. I don't want to run them up with the ZBA.
Well, I don't want to run them up with anybody. Right. So, and I don't know the answer, so... You're going to do that, Scott?
Sure.
All right.
The sand.
And I will try and call the sand people that I sent the RFP to, and especially D&D, and see if we can call them up to get us both.
You need to amend the truck RFP.
Thank you, Jim. Oh, you are Jim. You're Norm. Thank you, Norm. Don't lock your door yet. We're going to put a couple of chairs in there.
I don't think you did.
I don't think you did either.
Yes.
We can agree about something. Don't lock up yet. We've got to get a couple of chairs in here.
I can leave them out. I'll get them tomorrow.
You sure?
Yeah.
Thank you, Norm. To be quite honest, other than some of these recurring items, I don't know what should be on the agenda for the next meeting right now. Does anybody else have anything?
The only thing I had is Cy Benoit approached me about one, I guess, permission or whatever to go ahead and work. I think he said he was going to work with Jim and pick trees that, especially all the dead elms are along Pomfret Road, and then I think he's looking for maybe authorization to contract to have that done.
Jim also mentioned to me that when he was here before, he had a deal with CVPS. Maybe it was Green Mountain Power, but I'm not sure. But he had a deal that they would cut X number of trees a year for him that were in the road right away that needed to go, but that were in his wires. And he was going to see if he could reconstitute that agreement. And
yep.
I said, be my guest.
Yep. Just have him... You know, Cy takes his job seriously, so I'd say just have him. I think they've already talked anyway.
I'll make sure.
Which Cy is that name?
Benoit.
B-N-O-I-T. B-E-N-O-I-T.
And with that, I would put on the agenda, we need to discuss what we're going to do as far as getting all this debris from last winter. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be something that the guys are going to get done, or should we be contracting that out? That's...
Yeah, I mean, that's another one of those things I pushed for in the spring was that, you know, I knew the guys
were off. Yep.
And Jim was also, he said he got a response from Vern, but he didn't mention it tonight, but Vern had called him, so maybe Vern will mull over it.
I don't think he's going to. I talked to
you
Vern
tonight.
You don't
think
tonight.
He's going
to? He just retired, and he's decided he likes his freedom. So, and he's paying for himself and paying for Dale and some other people. And
okay.
He's building a sugar house, so he...
He doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't. So he told me tonight that he wasn't going to. He'd love to, but he just figured he was going to overcommit. So.
Well, I guess that's shot then. Anyway. Okay, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you much.
Stuff.